Would you please turn your Bible to Romans 13? I'll read it again so that we catch the impact of one of the most strategic passages in all of Scripture. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending to continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, for us to understand this passage, we need to remember what Paul is doing in this entire book of Romans. In the first 11 chapters, he has established how one becomes a Christian, how one who is a guilty sinner can be made right or justified in the sight of a holy God. Justification by faith is the teaching of Romans 1 to 11. Beginning in chapter 12, he begins to teach about the response to this. If you are a believer, justified by faith, then this is how you respond. He says, first of all, to God, then to the body of Christ, and then to the government. What is our relationship to authority? Now, we'll miss the impact of the passage if we do not catch the statement in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Here is a very, very strong, clear statement about God himself. Who is he? What kind of God is he? How do we live here in this universe? Is it all based on chance? In R.C. Sproul's book, Not a Chance, he will prove that there is no such thing as chance. There is no such thing as luck. Luck can no longer be in the vocabulary of a believer. It just isn't there. There is no such thing as chance. The universe is not ruled by chance. Neither is it ruled by the so-called free will of man. It is ruled by the governing authority of God. And when we talk about government, we review history to remember that God has raised up empires and he has brought them down. One of the most interesting reviews of history concerning government is that of God dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar becomes the king of Babylon, the ruling government in the world. And Nebuchadnezzar takes his armies, besieges Jerusalem, takes Daniel and the other Jews captive. And in Daniel chapter 4, we read that one day Nebuchadnezzar is walking around his palace, and he's saying, look at this great kingdom which I have built. Am I not the great one? Well, God heard that, and God zapped him immediately. And Nebuchadnezzar became like an animal, and eating grass, and was a madman. After certain times, God restored him to his sanity and caused him to worship him so that he could say, now I know that the Most High rules in heaven and earth. And God caused Nebuchadnezzar, that proud king, to bow in worship. God rules the hearts of kings like a river is turned in its course. So we have these empires, the Babylonian Empire, then the Persian Empire, then the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire, then the British Empire, the discovery of the United States. And so history flows by the governing authority of God Almighty, not by chance, not by military power, not by human free will. Friends, we have a statement here about God that is to be taken seriously. He is the sovereign Lord God Almighty, who is to be worshiped and recognized, and we bow in worship to him. That's how this text begins, with the sovereign authority of God. And we need to honor him as such. Now the passage tells us that God is the source of all governmental powers, and that there is no power that exists that was not appointed by God. So he has delegated authority in governing a power. Secondly, the text reveals that God has a purpose for governmental authority. First of all, to punish evil. Government exists so that people can live in peace without the fear of crime and criminals ruling a people. The government is to punish evil, to control disobedience, to hinder crime, so that we could live in peace. Now, this is necessary. Whenever two people are together, order has to be established. Some sort of governmental design needs to take place when two human beings are together, as it was in the Garden of Eden. Adam is the leader. Eve lives in subjection to his leadership. And so it goes throughout history. Otherwise, there is absolute chaos. And God knew this and brought about this governmental design so that there could be a semblance of peace. Now, the problem is that governments fail to follow God's truth, God's word, God's authority. And today, in some cases, we have some chaos in our criminal justice system, and we need to return to God's word and follow what he says. For instance, you say to me this morning, Bill, do you believe in capital punishment? You better believe it. Why? Because God's word teaches us to follow capital punishment. Does capital punishment deter crime? You better believe that it does. And God set that up early with the Jewish people, the Israelites, so that they could live in peace. So we need government. We need God's way of government. And one of the purposes is to punish evil. Secondly, it's to protect from without. We need government, we need military power, nations need national defense against tyranny and rulers from other places. Now, we have been blessed in our country in that no foreign power has gained entrance here to rule and govern us. And God has blessed us with a freedom that's just miraculous and awesome. But we need to remember that people gave their lives so that we could be free this morning. And perhaps some of you here have relatives, a grandfather, a father, or somebody who gave their life, not only in military service, but in other ways, so that we could be free. One of our dangers now is that our military defense is weakening. And from the reports I get, that there is a great discouragement in the military because of the present leadership weakening our defense. We need to be careful. Now, how should governing authorities view themselves? They are servants of God. Now, just think what the world would be like this morning if all governing authorities throughout the world considered themselves to be servants of God. What a change that would bring. What a great thing it would be in our country if all of our leaders considered themselves servants of God and were willing to be placed under the authority of God to carry out His will. What a great thing that would be. This passage is all important in our life this morning. So we have this statement about God's sovereignty, about authority. Now, what is our response individually and as a church to that authority? We read, let every soul be subject to the powers that be. A Christian must obey the law. Let every one of you. And to obey the law is to obey God Himself. And God has placed authorities around us. And we need to obey those authorities around us. The most significant strategic authority and power that God has ordained is a father. A father is an authority placed here by God. A mother is an authoritative figure placed here by God. And when fathers and mothers fail in authority, you have chaos. You have gangs. You have people rioting, ruining other people's property, committing crime. We need desperately today to have fathers and mothers who teach obedience. Now you say, Bill, why do you say teach obedience? Well, the fact is, children have to be taught to obey. It is unnatural for a person with a sin nature to obey. It just doesn't happen. We have to be taught to obey because we have entered this world with a sin nature. And God gave us parents to teach us to obey. And a child who has not been taught to obey family authority also will break civil authority and you have chaos. Interesting verse at the end of the book of Judges. It says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's chaos. You let children do what they think is right, you have chaos in your home. And by and large, we have, if it hasn't already happened, at least a trend where children rule the family. Everything centers around them and what they want to do. And we pretty much have a society ruled by youth, so that adults do what youth. We have churches today. The churches are ruled by youth. The music, the style, the entertainment, whatever is supposed to attract young people is what we must do. That's chaos. We need the governing authority of parents. We need to learn from God's word what that means. We must obey the law, must be taught, and we must be good examples of citizenship, and so that we lead others. And the theology enters into it, and I've mentioned that a little bit. Our view of man and who he is requires us to follow God's word. The law of God is good. It is we who fail to keep it. So here's a passage which is very significant for our day and very important for us, and the fact is, if we do not obey God's authority, this text says we are under his wrath. So we are to obey the law for that purpose, and then for conscience sake. Obey the law to have a good, clear conscience. It's very difficult to live without a clear conscience. How many of you here this morning have a perfectly, absolutely clear conscience? No takers. Well, good. We're all in the same boat then. We're all together and we understand. It's an important thing to obey the law. Sometimes if you're walking in a park or an area, you'll see a sign, keep off the grass. Anybody ever break that law? Yeah. I once had a fellow Christian chide me for jaywalking. He said, Bill, you're breaking the law. Yeah, I know, but I do it. But we need to be careful. And as we look at our present conditions, we, who are the people of God, hold the key to the direction of our country. We can talk about men and leadership, but do you know who controls men?
Amen.
Women. Women control the moral climate of a country. What women demand morally, men will do. We Christians control the key to the moral direction of our country. So we need to live to change the bad laws, enforce the good laws, and live under authority. The opposite of living under authority is rebellion. And the way that sin got started is through the rebellion. When Eve ate the fruit, that was rebellion. That was not just a simple little problem of somebody eating an apple off a tree. In fact, the truth is, the trouble in the garden was not the apple on the tree, but the pear on the ground. When Adam sinned, that's rebellion. When you and I sin, that is rebellion. That is transgression of the law. It is not taken lightly. God will deal with that. And thank God that with him there is forgiveness through Christ our Lord. So here is a very important passage for us this morning in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to a higher power, for there is no power except that is ordained of God. Now, in our prayers, we talked this morning about the difficulty of living under the ruling authority with whom you disagree, or whom we see in outright error, and how do you live with it? Is a Christian ever justified in breaking the law? Yes. Marriage law. When a husband abuses a wife, he has broken the marriage contract. She is no longer obligated to live with him. When a wife abuses a husband, he is free from her because she has broken the marriage contract. When a governmental authority suppresses a people with cruelty and slavery, those people are free to disobey. When a government asks us to be immoral or dishonest, we are free to disobey them. Now, it's interesting that on the very day we celebrate the freedom of the United States of America, that we come to Romans 13, which says, obey the government. Is the American Revolution, therefore, justifiable? Can we justify that the people who started our country brought about the revolution? Is that justifiable? That's just an interesting question. If you asked 100 people, you might get 100 different answers, so I'll give you my opinion. When there is tyranny, cruelty, slavery, we must do something. And the people who founded our country, many of them followed Christian convictions against what was happening. In fact, I have a book here called One Nation Under God. And it gives a list of John Adams, the second president, Samuel Adams, a cousin who was the initiator of the Boston Tea Party. And he gives his Christian convictions. In fact, at his grave, in his will, he wrote, I resign my soul to the Almighty Being who gave it, and my body I commit to the dust, relying on the merits of Jesus Christ for the pardon of my sins. Now I wish I had one of these for all of you. This is a must in your home. This is what you must teach your children, because they are not getting the truth of the history of our country in the public school system. And they are not getting the truth of the Christian influence which helped us in the beginning. So this will be good. If you want to order one, you could get the address here and pick it up before you leave. Well, folks, that's the exposition of this passage. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for the greatness of our freedoms. And we ask you to help us to protect and preserve the freedoms that have been given to us so that we can pass them on to our children and our grandchildren and down the line. Give us courage, bravery, commitment to truth. And above all this morning, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will give us a subjection to your authority. And to the extent that we here this morning are not living in subjection to your authority. We pray that you will bring a deep sense of conviction, a repentance to our hearts, a return to living for you under your authority. I thank you that you are the sovereign one who can change and deliver, and so we commit ourselves to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.